Amen. We're going to pray before we get stuck in the word. God, we thank you that you are changing us, that you are forming us more and more into your image. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are working on us and you're convicting our hearts. And God, that you're putting on us today a new inspiration, a new passion, and a new motivation to go and see our city one to you. God, that they would know you and that they would be rescued out of the depths of darkness because of you and your sacrifice, in your holy, wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you have been here and paying attention, we've been talking about our vision this month, and that is our three key values: evangelism, discipleship, generosity. And our vision is to introduce Melbourne to Jesus. I think that's the best thing that we could possibly do. I think that is the most important thing in our lives, is a great relationship with Jesus and then sharing that with others. Amen? Amen. Okay, good. Awesome. See, the purpose of the values of Infinity Church... let's read some scripture first, then we'll go in. If you've got your Bibles, read Romans 8, chapter 29 to 30. Now, Paul, all through chapter 8, he writes this, so then, one, step two, step three, and it's just like, so then, and then, and therefore, and therefore. And he builds, and he crescendos here in verse 29 and 30. It's kind of the amalgamation of the point up to here. He says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." And what a great verse here to see that we, as believers of Jesus, are being conformed into his image. And why is that great? Because Jesus is perfect. And I'm so far from that. Amen? Amen. I'm glad you all amened that. I'm so far from perfect. And I'm glad that the amens came from the people closest to me, because they're the ones that actually see the faults. If you think I'm perfect, you are just too far away. That's all. See, the values of evangelism, discipleship, and generosity, they come out of this want to be Christ-like. They are who Jesus was. It's an ultimate goal of the church and the ultimate goal of each and every person's life to be like Christ. See, 2024 was an amazing year for our church. We have had the largest attendance in all three services we've ever had. We've had the largest giving we've ever had. We've had, you know, just such a great year in 2024. It's been awesome. There's wins on wins on wins. The bus was stolen in 2025, but there's been wins on wins. Wins and wins and wins in 2024. It's been a great year. But in the words of a really great pastor, he said, "Church attendance is not on my bucket list." This was a mega church pastor. "Church attendance is not on my bucket list, but Christ resemblance is." Amen. See, the reason we do evangelism, discipleship, and generosity is not to have big church services. Like, big church services, that great. Yeah, that's wonderful. And it's great worship and it's good fun. But we want to do it because we want to be closer to Jesus and be more like Jesus. Amen. We want to do discipleship so that we're challenged to be more like Christ, to grow in our faith, to grow in our relationship with him. Because at the end of the day, when we're on our deathbed, how big our church was isn't going to matter. Like, it matters because we want more people saved, absolutely. But how close we were to Jesus is the thing that's going to matter to us. See, we evangelize because Jesus did. We share the gospel personally, one-on-one, to those around us because Jesus did. Corporately, we share the gospel from the platform absolutely unashamedly, and we won't apologize for it. We have always got an ability to respond in our services. We want to allow the Holy Spirit room. We want to have events that you can invite your friends to, connect groups that you can invite your friends to. We want to do all of those things because Jesus did those things. Because Jesus taught one-on-one. He preached from the mountaintops. He preached in the synagogues. He loved people in their homes. See, we want to tell the world about Jesus because he's changed our lives and now we're being more like him. How do you get involved with introducing Melbourne to Jesus? Start with evangelism. Personally, take on the mantle to share the gospel with someone. It's difficult, right? It's really difficult. It's scary. Do you know what? It actually gets easier the more you do it. It's like preaching. I used to be a nervous wreck getting up here, and now I'm still sweating anyway. But is it me or is it hot in here? Is it? No, it's just me. It's just me. It's fair. It's fair. How you get involved is first personally taking on the mantle to share the gospel. You can then get involved corporately. That's going to be a good meme later for Kate to do. Corporately, by serving in church. Your smile at the front door might be the thing that helps someone feel welcome and that they can come back to church over and over again. Maybe the chairs being straightened up and nice and clean and neat is the thing that makes someone feel welcome. You know, whatever it is that you can serve in, serve. It helps to tell people about Jesus. Bring your ideas. See, the church isn't the ministry team. It isn't the committee of management. The church is the people. If you've got an idea for evangelism, tell someone. Get someone around you and let's do it. Amen? I don't have all the ideas. And in case you can't tell, I'm not all that smart. It's okay. No, it's fine. It's all good. Corporately, invite your friends. Invite them to all these events. Get an idea, get behind it, and invite everybody. See, the reason why we want to do evangelism is first things first, we want to be like Jesus. We don't want to do evangelism because, yes, we know the fruit of evangelism will be that more people come to know Jesus. That's great. That is a wonderful, awesome thing, but it's secondary. The first priority is that we want to be like Jesus. The second part of what we do here is discipleship. And personally, I want you to take on the challenge this year to be discipled. Hands up. This is a good tell. And what we're going to do is the live stream's just going to quickly scan the room and see. No, I do. Hands up. Who is currently being discipled? Being discipled by someone. Wow. Who's currently discipling somebody else? It's a pretty big challenge to the church, hey? Why don't you this year take on the challenge to be discipled? You know, it's really, really difficult to be discipled sometimes. The Friday before, Pastor Craig said something that really upset me. It wasn't really upsetting because it was wrong. It was really upsetting because it was right. Because he challenged me on something and it's not even a big deal. It's just something that he could see from the outside and I couldn't see from where I was. And it's difficult. And this thing, it'll cost money. And this thing that he challenged me on, it'll cost time and it'll cost energy. But if we're willing to be discipled, we're going to be better for it. We're going to be closer to Jesus and more towards being Christ-like if we're willing to be challenged. If we're also willing to challenge others, it's difficult. I'm sure it was difficult for Pastor Craig to tell me, hey, you got to sort this thing out. I'm sure it's difficult to have those conversations. But be willing to be challenged and to challenge others. Corporately, how we do this is we preach Christ-likeness. Number one, we run connect groups. We have areas to serve, areas to lead. We try and build as strong relationships as possible. We try and keep Jesus at the center of everything we do. And we pursue Christ-likeness in every way. In all services, we all have this want to be discipled. See, you can get involved by running a connect group. You can get involved in being discipled by attending a connect group. You can get involved with being discipled by maybe you look at someone and you go, that person looks like they got it more together than I do. They know more about Jesus. Hey, can you help me? Would you disciple me? It might take a little bit of guts, but would you disciple me? See, Jesus didn't need to be discipled, really. But Jesus followed God and he showed us what a life looked like completely dedicated to God, completely dedicated to the will of God. He also got to show us what discipleship looked like. It was with people all the time. It was strong relationships. And man, was he willing to challenge people. He was willing to get in there and fix their mistakes. Peter cuts off a soldier's ear and Jesus puts it back on. It's silly duffer, Peter. Like Christ was so willing to be there and challenge them. And the disciples were willing to be challenged. And sometimes we saw their attitudes be good and bad and otherwise. But they were so willing to learn. The reason we want to do discipleship is firstly because we want to be like Jesus. The second is that we all together want to be moving as a community towards Christ-likeness. Amen? Together as a community. I want to see Laz in 12 months' time closer to Jesus than he is now. Amen? Because I love Laz. I want to see him closer. And he's doing a great job. And that's why I said his name from the platform. Arun, on the other hand... No, I joke. I joke. It's okay. Arun is in all of the areas of my life. He's in the carpool for work. He's at work. He's at church. And he's in family. If you don't know, he's my brother-in-law. So he has all the banter in all the areas and no escape. He's the only one in all of those areas and so no escape. Actually, Mitch is also there and he too has no escape. See, we want to be like Christ and we want our friends and our family to be more like Christ because we love people. Generosity. Personally, we live generously. We pray generously. We behave generously. That's getting up early to come to church and make coffees for everybody. It's, you know, when we're at work, we give of our time generously to other people and we help them. When we're at home, we are serving our families, helping them, building them. See, we don't just give personally to the church and that's it. We live a life of generosity. Corporately, we do generosity through a bunch of different ways. And this year, we want to crank that up a notch. Corporately, we do Community Cafe, which we want to crank up a notch. We do Global Care, which is part, you know, Community Cafe is part of Global Care. But Global Care, we got some serious ideas this year. Woo! Everybody's excited. The three people in the front row are excited about Global Care. Amen. There's ideas to run a seniors group. There's ideas to run a mum's group, a free mum's group for the community. There's ideas for free counselling. There's ideas that have been a ton of different things. Church planting. There's been ideas for buying a, what's it called, trailer. You know what I'm talking about? Gardening trailer. And going out and just doing free gardening for people in the community. Like just being generous. I'm glad the Victorian Global Care Director is sitting in the front row. See, we want to get involved with loving our community and being generous to them. We want to start to partner with the churches in INC and use the resources that we've got together to be generous to our city. See, Liberty Church, a sister church that was planted out of here some 20-something years ago. And they're great. And we don't really talk about the movement enough, so I'm going to, you know, brag about the movement a little bit. Our church, if you don't know, is part of a movement called INC, International Network of Churches. And they look after so much of stuff, and they're just such a great team of people. And there's 200 and something churches Australia-wide, and it's and the movement's going really, really great. 2024 was the best year for the movement. It was amazing. But we've got churches that are our sister churches 7.5 minutes away, maybe 12 with traffic. Right? We've got like Centerpoint Church, and they're all so keen to do stuff for the community. There was a global care initiative started out of Centerpoint Church that started out of a connect group. A connect group just decided, hey, we want to love our community and do something. Let's do it. And the movement said, hey, well, we got funds to do that. Let's do this. Let's love your community. And we can get involved with that. We don't have to do it on our own. We can do it together. Liberty's got a playground. So we want to run a free mums group. Like, there's so much resource within Global Care. We want your ideas and we want you to get involved. With generosity and with money, we also want to be very, very good at being frugal with ourselves and generous with others. And that's the purpose of the Committee of Management, is to manage the funds really well so that we have the ability to be generous with others. Now, my mum's going to be really proud because that was something she used to tell me all the time. She'd always say, be frugal with yourself and generous with others. How you get involved in being generous is that you give, you serve, and you share ideas. See, Jesus modeled generosity through the entirety of his life. He did it with his energy, his time, his ministry, miracles. Every single one of Jesus' miracles made the lives of others better. Even if it was in small ways, turning water into wine was a large miracle in the scheme of I can't do that. So, of course, it's a miracle. It's great. It's wonderful. But it just made the party better. But it made people's lives better. See, your small act of generosity will make people's lives better. Why we want to do that is because we want to be like Jesus. We want to pursue Christ-likeness. Yep, secondarily to that, it's going to change people's lives. That's awesome. That's wonderful. But first, in our hearts, we want to be like Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39, which is, this is straight after what we read before, Paul says, because of what this was, because of we're predestined, we're formed, we're being transformed to the image of Christ, and we're being glorified. He says, so what? What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? See, it might feel like sometimes Melbourne is against the church. It might feel like your friends, your family are against the church. They were against Jesus. It's okay. Because in eternity, God is for us. Who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God's chosen, who he justifies? Sorry, it is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or success in 2024? No. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death or life, angels or demons, present or future, or any powers, height or depth, anything else in all creation will not be able to separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. Wow. Because we are being formed into Christ likeness, we have God behind us, and God wants to see our city won. God, Jesus isn't up there thinking, don't worry about Melbourne. Jesus is up there loving the people of our city, and he wants to know them. And he wants to get to know your friends and your family. And he wants to get to know you more. See, introducing Melbourne to Jesus is loving the people of our city. I did a little bit of research. Our city, Melbourne, is one of the most multicultural cities in the world. It always rates in the top five. But that statistic's not really fair. See, that statistic is how many people in the city were born in a different nation. Right? And it's like 45% or something. It's a really large value. It's within the top five cities in the world. But that's not fair because we've been in the top five for probably the longest time ever. And so Melbourne has so many different cultures and so many different ways of living. You know, we see it everywhere. The unity in the people, cross-culturally, is a massive asset to our city. It is so good. And yeah, sometimes there's things going on. But as a whole, Melbourne is so united. More so, it's a great asset to our church. See, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29, it says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For you were all baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. You're all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Right here, we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. And whilst I'm uniquely placed, because I attend enough of the Arabic service and the Farsi service to see how much there is actually such a love, I know that that message doesn't get seen as the same. I know when you know, you don't get to see the Arabic people, and when you do see them, you don't even know if they speak English. So you don't know whether they say hi or not. Or the Farsi guys, because they're here on a Saturday night. But the love that the Farsi team and the Arabic team have for you is so high. Yeah. It is so high. There is such a love amongst the leadership team and such a love amongst the congregation and a gratefulness and a thankfulness. They see you as brothers and sisters. And that is such a great asset to our church. This year, we want to see a strengthening of that unity, working together more closely. We're going to see that in the leadership team. We're going to start connect groups that are global. We've also got that happening in the prayer team. The committee of management and the ministry team are made up of people from all the services. And this year, we're going to see more of our city introduced to Jesus. We're going to see more of our city told about Jesus, building in their faith, strengthen us as a church, and we're going to build towards more people knowing him. Just before we finish up, I know we read a couple of verses about being Christ-like, but this might be my favorite one because it's short and sharp and real good. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." We who get to be with God, get to be seen by him and contemplate and have this relationship with him, we are being transformed. This year, I want you to join with me, with the ministry team, with the whole church in introducing Melbourne to Jesus. But first, that's one of the goals. But first, Christ-likeness. To be more like Christ. Christ-likeness is the goal. But maybe you're sitting here and it's your first time and you've never been in a church before, or maybe you're watching on the live stream and you haven't been to church before. And you're like, Christ-likeness makes no sense to me. That's a lingo term. The first step to knowing God better is acceptance of Christ. And so if I could have every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today, and you want to make that decision for the first time to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to pray for you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're working on our hearts. And God, I pray right now that for those people that are making that decision for the first time, God, I pray that you speak to them so clearly. And you show them that you love them. You want to have a relationship with them. And you want to build them. Build them into your likeness and have an amazing relationship with them for the rest of their life. And God, I pray for each and every one of those people that they would accept you. That they would take on this acceptance that you are their Lord and Savior. And they'd start that relationship with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If that's you today, I want you to be encouraged. If it's online or in person, come and talk to me or shoot us an email. And we'd love to get you in a discipleship relationship so that you can get to know Christ better. For everyone else, you're all in trouble. Can I give you a challenge this year? A challenge to pursue a better relationship with God. Not to focus on the outcomes, which yes, they will be evangelism, discipleship, generosity, and our city won for Christ and those things, but to focus on your relationship with God. Would you take on that challenge this year?
Yes.
Laz is on. Let's go. Laz is going to be, you know, closer to Christ than everyone else this year. Amen. Amen. That wasn't meant to encourage Laz. That was meant to shame the rest of you. Convict. Sorry, not shame. Convict. Would you take that on this year? Would you commit to being discipled? To chasing Christ-likeness? Not out of deed. Not out of the things you want to do. But out of just being in his presence. Being there and contemplating his glory with unveiled faces and letting him change you? Would you join me in worship, contemplating the glory of Jesus Christ? And commit today and say, God, I want to know you better this year. I want to get to this time in 2026 and look back and say, I am closer to God, I'm closer to Jesus than I have ever been. Amen? Amen? Would you do that? Why don't you stand to your feet with us and we'll worship and contemplate God's glory.